Hey now, welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Amy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarland. Today we're joined by Windy City Bulls player Daniel Uturu. How's everything going with you?
None much, man. You know, everything's going smooth. Appreciate you guys having me on the podcast.
For sure. So before going into your current career as a professional athlete, I kind of wanted to go back a little bit to start everything off and talk about your recruitment process. So Jack and I are both at Iowa. You played in Minnesota. So I was kind of curious how you got there and what that recruiting journey was for you.
Yeah. So, you know, for me personally, I had a pretty short recruiting process. You know, I committed pretty early to the University of Minnesota when I was a junior in high school. And I'm from Woodbury, Minnesota. So my city, where I grew up and where I live, where my family's from, is no longer than probably 25 minutes from the campus of the University of Minnesota. So basically, you know, I probably had like 7 or 8 different offers from different schools. And ultimately what went into my decision to stay home was just being able to play in front of my friends and family and kind of having that comfortability of playing in front of my mom, especially because during high school, she wasn't able to go to a lot of my games in high school because she was working all the time. And so this was just another opportunity where she would be able to watch me play.
Well, like, kind of like, I guess you might have just answered it, but I kind of want to go a little deeper of like, what did Minnesota try and like sell to you to get you to come there? Because obviously, like you've said, like you have that personal feeling where you wanted to stay home, but like, what did they try to sell to you to try and, you know, get you to pick them over wherever else you were offered by?
You know, so a lot of that has to do with kind of like a couple of factors. So, you know, first of all, like the head coach now, Ben Johnson, he recruited me really heavily when he was an assistant at the University of Minnesota. So when I would talk to him, when he would come visit me in my high school and stuff like that, you know, he would talk to me about how he would use himself as an example. Like he was a hometown kid that went to a local high school that stayed and played. Or, you know, first of all, he played at Northwestern first, and then he ended up coming back. But he's a guy that's from Minnesota that played in Minnesota, and just he sold me on that hometown feeling, you know, being able to play in front of your hometown and having the support of the locals, the people that have watched you grow up and play basketball and stuff like that. That was one thing that helped a lot. And then just always visiting the campus with guys like Eric Curry there, like Dupree McBrayer, Nate Mason, Jarvis Johnson, Amir Coffey, one of my old teammates too. And so just being around those guys on visits like that, you know, they kind of just helped with my decision on going there because it already felt like I was already on the team.
So when you did get there, you had shoulder surgery right away. Like how did that kind of make you feel at the beginning of your college career? Like you weren't able to contribute right away. Was it tough for you to kind of transition into that, or did you kind of take on that whole I'm gonna get through this and my day will come eventually?
Nah, yeah, for sure. You know, so when I got, like you said, I got to campus and I got surgery almost immediately that summer, and so I didn't get to do any basketball activities up until I think a week before our first game. And
dang.
Yeah, so it was a long process for sure, a long rehab process. It was probably like 6-7 months. But you know, I felt like in my mind, I was like, if I can just get healthy enough where I'll be cleared to play by the first game, I think I'll do pretty well. I'll be good, you know, just based off of like just my own inner confidence and knowing that just attack the rehab, just get as healthy as possible, and then when the playing time comes, you know, just start taking full advantage. And I think it was Eric who had got injured that same year too, later on after my surgery, and he didn't end up playing to like end up like January. And so I kind of needed to step into that position to be able to play and provide heavy minutes for our team. So I think that helped me too as the season went along for my first year.
Yeah. So one thing I was curious was, what did you enjoy most about playing Big Ten basketball?
Man, everything about it, it's it's for sure, in my opinion, the most physical, most like it's slow. It's just, I don't know, it's grinded out basketball for sure. Like, there's a lot of great teams in the Big Ten, you know. So being able to play against like all these type of good players in the Big Ten, all these different teams. I think my favorite aspect was also playing at the away arenas. Like, the road games was the best because I love going into hostile environments, you know, like you guys playing down at Iowa City or going crossing the border over to Wisconsin, or those two in particular were my favorite matches up because, like, I'm from Minnesota and those two states are next to each other. And, you know, the rivalry with all sports regarding Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. So being able to play on the road versus you guys and all these different other schools in the Big Ten, I feel like that was my favorite aspect of playing in the Big Ten.
So what did you enjoy most about playing against Iowa and Iowa City?
Playing against Luka Garza. Man, I love playing against that dude. First and foremost, he's a great human being, great dude, you know. I'm so happy to see him succeeding right now too, you know, doing his thing. And so that's for sure the most I love playing against him. He's a guy that forces you to bring the best out of yourself, you know. You want to be able to compete with him. And so he's a good player, great player. And I definitely say playing against him, just Iowa in general too, it was always good and fun.
So, well, one question I have about Luka is how did you personally see, as like someone who had to play against him, how did you see him kind of develop and progress? Or did you just kind of see it was a gradual year by year, like Luka continually just added things to his bag where he, like you said, required you to be at your best?
Man, so Luka, I think Luka's a couple years older than me. So he was definitely had been in a Big Ten before when I was like a little bit, like a year or two before I even got into college. And what's funny is I actually played against Luka Garza, like, I want to say when I was like 16. And I was an AAU tournament. He was playing for Team Takeover. It was an EYBL team. And I was playing for Howard Pooley, the Minnesota Nike EYBL team. And I remember him from Team Takeover because I'm like, man, like, who's this big white dude? Like, you know, he was nice back then too. And so I got to college and I'm like, I just recognized him from somewhere. So, you know, seeing him from then, remembering him from that point and to where he is now is, you know, it's just a testament to how hard of a worker he is for sure, you know. And that's kind of like all it is, you know. You see guys like that, and it just makes you want to work harder, you know, because you put the work in, you get to, you know, reap the benefits of your hard work.
Did you, when you first saw Luka when you were 16, did you make the same note that I did when I first saw him, that it looks like he's carrying cinder blocks in his shoes? Because I thought it did.
Definitely not that, but I definitely thought he was, you know, he was a big kid, so I was like, man, like, he definitely could be good. Like, I just never knew I didn't even know what school he was going to or his name. I just recognized him by face. And so when we played him back then, he was decent. You know, obviously now, as the years went on, he got tremendously a lot better. So, you know, that's just, again, like a shout out to him for his hard work.
I wanted to ask you a question still on your college career about playing for a head coach who has a very famous last name, Pitino, which is Richard Pitino. What was your experience playing for him?
My experience playing with him, you know, it was definitely interesting for sure. You know, like you said, his dad is Rick Pitino. And so, you know, playing for a guy with that kind of last name, you know, garners a lot of attention. But, you know, it was pretty chill, honestly. Just at the end of the day, it was just all about basketball for me. So just going out there and competing every day, honestly, and, you know, and just doing what coach asked and just trying to be the best coachable player I could be. It was a good experience.
So I want to ask you, like, for you playing college basketball, it sounds like you loved playing Big Ten basketball when you were in it. What was kind of the decision behind wanting to declare for the NBA draft and forego a couple years of eligibility? Like, what kind of went through that decision-making process for you?
Yeah, so for sure. So I think I came out after my second year. And, you know, I felt like after my second year, I had a pretty good year. You know, and so I feel like I wanted to test just test the NBA draft and then just kind of see like where GMs and teams were thinking about me and stuff like that. And the year that I came out in particular, the draft process was, I think, extended extremely. So I went from being like a couple month thing to like maybe 6 or 7. Like the draft wasn't until like November later that year, 2020, you know, because the pandemic and stuff like that. And so I think that extra time benefited me to be able to just continue to get working on my game and just working on my game and stuff like that. And then ultimately I felt like I had heard enough good info and talking with my people, just heard enough good stuff that it was probably time for me to take that next step.
Yeah. So during that draft process, what was it like for you, the draft prep and everything leading up to being drafted? You know, I've heard from different people in the past, you know, and seen online, you know, weird draft questions and draft interviews and stuff like that. What was, if you had any, like any weird draft questions you got asked that were just like so random, you're like, how is this a interview question?
Man, you know, honestly, sorry to say, but I cannot remember, you know, because I got this question asked a couple of days ago, actually, but they definitely do that. Teams will definitely ask you a question or two, and you're just like, I don't know how to answer that. But, like, I don't know. It's tough. Sometimes they throw some tough questions out like that, but teams definitely do that. But for me personally, I just kind of just try to answer those questions to the best of my ability.
Yeah. So when draft day comes, what did you do for draft day? What was your kind of whole draft day experience like?
So it was so I had that morning I had woke up and I had went to go shoot this like little draft day video with this camera crew that I know. And I ended up, I got my hair cut. I went and got some extra stuff for like my suit and my brother's suit and my best friend's suit. And we just kind of went back to my house, was trying to get ready and stuff like that. My parents and my sibling, my other siblings, my two sisters and my aunt, I want to say, they all headed to like the venue. I had like got this this hotel, I don't know how to, like ballroom, nothing too crazy, nothing too big, but got this hotel ballroom. So that's kind of like where we had the draft day set up. And with the NBA, they had sent like all hats for each team. And they also had like set up this like TV where like you would see, I don't know, it was a whole weird experience because it was the first virtual draft. So like the draft wasn't in person that year. So they just kind of set up a TV, had like a little iPod, like this little kiosk kind of thing that was facing you and everybody in view. And we were just kind of just sitting there and just waiting, honestly. I had my phone next to me. It was just waiting. And then I finally got my phone. My phone rang. My agent called me. And that was that.
So as you're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting some more until the early part of the second round, what was going through your head? Were you worrying about who was going to select you? Did you have an idea of where you were going to fall and who you were going to go to? Can you kind of like give us a little insight on what that was like?
Man, it was definitely a long, like, I think, I don't know. It felt like hours and hours, but it was probably really like 40, 45 minutes, maybe to an hour to max of like waiting. But
yeah, but man, it feels like the first 14 picks take an hour.
I don't know. It felt long, but looking back, it wasn't crazy long. But like, you know, like you said, like the first 14 picks for sure take forever. And then, you know, as I'm sitting there, I'm just sitting there like, man, like, I don't know. I have no idea, you know, like, because during the draft process, you'll hear things from different teams and you might have an idea. But at the end of the day, like when the time comes, like teams can just do a whole complete 180. You know, a team might like you that's picking at this pick, and then they might end up going with a different guy. So now you're like, okay, who's going to pick me now? You know what I'm saying? And so like, just that waiting until the early second round, you know, I was sitting there just waiting. I had left the room like 5 or 6 times, just walking back and forth. I couldn't sit there no more. And Eventually my agent called me and told me, kind of gave me the whole spiel about like Minnesota drafting me, and then ended up trading my pick to New York, and then New York was trading me to LA. So it was a whole whirlwind. So I knew before they made the announcement on TV, but like, it was dope, man. It's definitely an experience that, like, if you're blessed enough to be able to be a part of something like that, you know, you definitely never take that for granted.
So through the trading of the picks and all the behind the scenes stuff, when did you finally hear from LA that you were officially a Clipper?
Probably like 5 minutes right after the pick was made. The president of the team called me, head coach called me. It was definitely, like I said, man, you know, I give all glory to God, honestly, because, you know, a lot of stuff like that, you know, it's something that you work towards your whole life as a basketball player. Yeah, I feel like as an athlete in general, or not even just an athlete, just everybody, you know, like, there's things that we all dream of and want to work towards, and being able to work towards and achieve a dream that I've had for such a long time, you know, can't get any better than that. So getting a call from the GM and the president and the head coach, you know, literally like probably 5-10 minutes after I had just got drafted, everybody celebrating, my phone ringing crazy. So, you know, it was dope.
What's the first thing you do after getting drafted the next day or even that night? What's the first thing you remember doing now that you know you've been drafted?
Honestly, that night, after I got drafted, we was just all celebrating, my family, friends, you know, people that were at the my gathering, small gathering. But cause at that time, it would be inexcusable to have more than 20 people in the room at the same time. And so after that, we was just hanging out. Honestly, I went back. I had cleaned up, changed out my suit. I had went back to my parents' house. I think I just played video games for the rest of the night. Honestly, I had 2K, all types of stuff. And then the next morning, I just talked to my agent, and he kind of gave me the whole rundown on how I wouldn't go out to LA till the next week because Thanksgiving was coming up, and so they were allowing me to stay for Thanksgiving and then coming over the next day.
That's awesome. So speaking of 2K, I wanted to ask you, have you ever played as yourself on 2K?
Yeah, I did. When I got my face scan, and my face scan got updated in 2K. I want to say 2K21 or 2. I don't know what the current game is out right now, but I don't play 2K anymore, at least. But yeah, I played it myself for sure. It's kind of weird because I've always made my careers and stuff like that, but my actual self in the video game is crazy.
Well, when you would do the My Careers, would you use your name or would you just make up a name?
I'd just make up a name.
Right.
I'd make up a random name because at the time, my name wouldn't be in the game, but now my name is in the game. So, like, the commentators and stuff, they recognize my name and stuff like that. So, I just leave it as that now.
And obviously, every athlete that ever has their likeness in a video game, they're never going to be satisfied with the ratings. This safe space, you could tell us if you edited your ratings just a little when you saw it.
Nah, like, all right, sure. Out 99, everything. 99, everything. Starting everything. Like, I boosted up all the stats for sure. Awesome. Now, I feel like everybody does that, though. You know, like, I can't just sit there. They gave me a base rate at 71. I'm not 71. I'm a 99. You know, gotta run up the stats.
That's awesome. So when you joined the Clippers, I mean, you joined a team full of vets, you know, that is like, you know, as veteran of a team as you can basically get with, you know, Kawhi, you know, Paul George, Rondo, Ibaka, you know, all those type of guys. What was it like joining a veteran team like that? Like, what was your kind of like welcome to the NBA moment when you joined that team?
Man, I don't even know, honestly. I would say I had a couple welcome to the NBA moments for sure. I think just my first time I met Kawhi, I was like, man, like, I was just like, man, this is really Kawhi. Like, I'm really in LA. Like, it's wild. And, like, I think, you know, one thing that helped for sure was having my boy Amir on the team with me. Amir Coffey, he basically was like, I played with him in college.
Mm-hmm.
Bless you. Thank you. But we played with each other in college, and he just basically gave me the rundown on how everything works there, and just and how, like, what to do and just stuff like that. And I think, honestly, my welcome to the NBA moment was probably the first day I got to Los Angeles. Like, I'd never been to L.A. before. Like, I've been to, like, California. I've been to, like, Thousand Oaks, but I've never been to, like Los Angeles. And so I feel like when I first got there that night, Amir came pick me up. We drove around L.A., went to the practice facility. My name was on the practice facility already. I hadn't even been there. My name's already in the locker. And I was just like, man, this is crazy. Like that's probably my first welcome to the NBA moment for sure.
What was your first impression of L.A. since you've never been there before? First thing that came to your mind when you were driving around with Amir?
I was just like, this is crazy. Like, it's the biggest city I've ever been in my life. Because, like, yeah. Growing up in Minneapolis and Woodbury, like, Minneapolis, so back to me, I thought Minneapolis and, like, Minnesota was huge. And then going to a city like L.A., it's just like, whoa, like, I don't even think Minnesota fits in this. Like, Minneapolis, you can fit Minneapolis in Los Angeles, how big it is. Like, L.A. County is so huge. And so, like, we were driving all over. We drove to the Staples Center. We drove to the practice facility. We drove to, like, Rodeo Drive, all different types of stuff. And it was just showing me around. It was super dope.
That's awesome. So you get upon the Clipper jersey. You get to play an NBA game. What was that first NBA game for you? And what was that like being on an NBA bench, being in an NBA arena as a professional basketball player?
It was a dream come true, for real. You know, that first game we played against, it was a preseason game, played against the Lakers. I think I had like 8 points, like a couple rebounds. I was feeling myself. I was a little geek, you know. Because, man, like, it's unofficially, but I've scored a couple baskets in the league. And so it's just like I said, you know, being able to achieve stuff like that, stuff that you dream about, you know, a lot of people dream about it and you're actually doing it. You know, it teaches you never to take anything like that for granted.
What was it like, you know, you can G League and NBA, like, what's the travel schedule like for you and being on the road and, you know, going from city to city, arena to arena, and, you know, doing that for your job?
As far as G League and NBA, like, the travel schedule is almost identical with a few different things in between, like, they're a little different. But, you know, as far as, like, traveling-wise, like, the only things that are different is, like, when you're in the G League, you don't fly private. There's no charter flights, you know what I'm saying? It's the minor league, so, like, you know, you're not getting that NBA treatment, you know? So that's different from the NBA for sure. But as far as travel schedules, road trips, all that type of stuff, they're a little similar, honestly. Nothing too crazy. Like, you might be on the road for a couple of days. Like, right now, I'm on a road right now here in Toronto. We have, like, a 9-day road trip. So we're on the road for, like, 9 days, and we won't get back to our city till, like, later part of next week. And so stuff like that, so, you know, you just travel different city to city.
So after being with the Clippers and then going to the G League, what was that transition like for you?
It was definitely different for sure, you know, because, it was so unexpected, and stuff like that hits you so fast, you know, like, you go through your whole, I went through my whole rookie year feeling like I did everything right, and then I end up getting traded, getting cut, and then end up in the G. And it definitely hits you fast, but I definitely think I transitioned pretty well, because right before I came to the G, went to training camp with the Chicago Bulls. So I got myself acclimated to, like, the organization and certain people in the organization, you know. And so including my G League head coach, you know, he was a player development coach on with the big team. And so being able to work with him before even coming to the G and just then having that familiar face, you know, it definitely helped the transition to coming down, playing with the Windy City team. And then as far as playing with the Windy City team, you know, I think it's honestly been the best thing that's happened in my career so far, because I've actually been able to gain good game reps, get repetition. You know, my rookie year, I barely played. I played, like, less than 100 minutes. And so being able to get game reps, you know, work on my game reps, reps and reps and reps, and just being able to compete against other people. You know, it's been honestly really it's really development for sure. I feel like I feel my game developing a lot.
Was your confidence hit at all when you were sent down to the G, or did you maintain that sky high, like I'm going to, like I deserve to be here type thing?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I would say at first, you know, a little bit, but then at the end of the day, you know, you got to think about it. Like, there's always been this misconception about the G League. Like, the G League is there's great players in the G League, you know, for mm-hmm. real. There's a lot of guys right now that are on NBA rosters that played in the G League for more than a year that are mm-hmm. making millions of dollars now, role players, star players. Like you can name a lot of, like, Fred Van Fleet played a lot in the G League. Alex Caruso spent like mm-hmm. 2-3 years in the G League, you know, Juan Toscano Anderson, all types of guys, you know. And so this is like, you know, I took this as an opportunity to really hone in on my game and to get better and just to be able to show NBA teams why I deserve to be on an NBA team. And that's been my mindset since I've been down here, just to keep my head down, just keep working, compete. And then everything else will play itself. I just control what I can control. And those are the things that I can control. It's my effort and the way I approach the game.
What are some things you've seen progress or evolve in your game with these added reps? Like, what have you seen that you've just improved on naturally by playing a lot more?
Definitely getting used to the speed of NBA basketball, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, NBA basketball is a lot. I think when I was a rookie last year, that was something that was a lot different for me. For me, playing in the Big Ten and then coming to the NBA where it's like this fast pace and getting used to NBA game speed, you know, personally just knowing, working on stuff that I feel like I need to work on, like my jump shot, my jump shooting, getting actual three reps up, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, just in my overall game. Just honestly, I feel like, you know, you can do all the drills and stuff, but I feel like being down here has helped my confidence a lot. And confidence is the most important thing any player can have.
In your game, I mean, in college, you were a great defensive player. And in the NBA, NBA and G League, I mean, in the G League, I've seen some of your stats and stuff of you being able to score the ball, play both sides of the floor, you know, shag, you know, 10 plus rebounds and get a couple blocks in the games. What do you kind of take pride in most with your style of play? Like, is it the rebounding, scoring, you know, playing on the defensive end? What's kind of your biggest part of your craft you take pride in?
You know, I definitely think the most important thing for me personally is just my effort and my energy and going out every time we play, just trying to compete at the highest level I can. And then all those type of things, you know, fall into that, you know, like, giving that extra effort to grab that loose ball or the rebound or making the last grasp for a block, you know, like stuff like that, you know, those kind of things have always kind of came natural to me. And so, you know, I feel like my biggest thing for me personally is just trying to be consistent with my energy and effort. And I feel like that's the most important thing for me, because then everything else will fall in line.
Have you taken a second? I mean, obviously you might have, you might not have, but have you like ever daydreamed and thought, these are the two players I have in mind that I would love to jersey swap with after a game? Or are you just waiting for that opportunity to come up and just let it happen?
Nah, definitely. I want to jersey swap my boy Amir for sure, just because that's for the city. That's for Minneapolis right there. That's for Minnesota. And then honestly, that's probably the only person I ever wanted to jersey swap with, for sure. I mean, ever since I got traded, too, for sure. I've always wanted to jersey swap my boy Amir, but that's probably it, honestly.
Well, you know, with the G League lineup that you guys have, like, on the Windy City Bulls, I mean, you guys have some dudes with, you know, Marco, Scotty, Lindsey, just, you know, Andrew Harrison, Devin Dotson, and then, of course, Tyler Cook, who played at Iowa as a two-way guy going back and forth. So my first question around your teammates is, do you and Tyler Cook ever talk Minnesota-Iowa trash to each other? Has that come up at all this year?
No, it came up a little bit, but the thing is, I never played against Tyler, actually. Right. Because the one mm-hmm. time we played Iowa was my freshman year. And he left after a year. In that particular game, they came up to us in Minneapolis, and we whooped them. We whooped them, but I didn't play. I was hurt. And so I couldn't even really say much. All I could say is that we won.
Well, what does he say? What does he try and say to you then?
Hey, Tyler went to school for 3 years, so he's had some games with some Minnesota for sure. And so, he'll bring that up too, but Minnesota-Iowa rivalry, it runs deep down here too, best believe.
Well, I have to say, we're playing you guys on Sunday. What's your score prediction?
I don't have a score prediction, but you guys got us last time because we was hurt and down bad with COVID and some guys injured. But I definitely
sounds like think, excuses.
Nah, we not. Yeah, exactly. I would just say that we're not gonna make no excuses. We're gonna see the game. I think if we come with our minds right, we get a dub tonight versus Purdue, gain some momentum. I definitely think we can see a dub coming from Minnesota this Sunday.
Hey, I think Iowa needs a dub just as bad as about anybody in the conference right now. So you're looking at the hungriest team.
Literally. Hey, we might be the hungriest team right now. We're going to see. I think they're playing right now, Purdue. So we'll see how hungry Minnesota is for sure.
Well, going back to Tyler Cook, teammate, what's it been like to have him as a teammate? Obviously, you never played against him, but what's it been like? Have you been able to take anything from his game or learn from his experiences? Like, what's that been like?
Tyler Cook's a natural leader, man. He's a guy that just he knows the game of basketball, loves the game of basketball, really explosive, plays hard, brings a lot of energy. He's a guy that you see that when he's with the big team, when he's on the NBA team, he plays his role really well. He knows what to do. He doesn't play out of his game. And so watching a guy like that, see how he competes, the way he leads, how he plays his role with the big team. I think those are important things that I take away from him because, when he comes down to play with us, he obviously has a bigger role, but when you're in those type of situations as a two-way, you want to be able to come into an NBA game and play a role to the best of your ability for that team. And so just seeing him do that so well, definitely some things that I've learned from him.
And earlier this season, you were with the Raptors on the 10-day. What was that opportunity and experience like for you being with a new team and kind of having to learn all those guys real quick, but also like being under that 10-day umbrella?
It was definitely an experience for sure. I ended up, one of my good friends and old AAU teammates, Gary Trent Jr., plays for the Raptors too. And so it was like another situation where I was in LA versus now I'm in Toronto where I've had a guy I've played with that's been here that knows what to do and stuff like that. And so he was another guy that was super helpful for me that guided me and kind of just showed me like how things work here in Toronto and helped me a lot. And so my experience here, for sure it was kind of crazy. Like the first game I had actually got COVID. And so the first day I was cleared, I had a game for Toronto versus Cleveland. So I was just out of quarantine, literally 24 hours, like 12 hours before the game.
How many minutes did you play that night?
I can't even remember. I think like maybe like 15.
Oh, and how hard was that?
It was a hard 15 for sure. But, it was stuff like that. It's kind of stuff like that I think is dope though, because those are things that like moments that teach you like, man, you got to be ready for anything, the unexpected, honestly. Like I went to bed the night before, like, I got COVID the next day. I signed a 10-day with the Raptors. And so I'm like, oh, crap. You got to fly everywhere, fly all over the place and stuff like that. So it was definitely a unique experience for sure, being able to watch guys like Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, all different, Ken Burch, different type of pros, and see how they – what they do that separates themselves from the rest of the pack.
And being on a 10-day, what's that like integrating yourself in the locker room? Like, is it a welcoming experience? Like, hey, well, welcome. Like, here's the rundown and everything. Or is it kind of like, hey, we, join the team, pick up, catch up. We got to go.
I definitely think it's definitely, just a mix of both, They try to speed you up and try to get you acclimated with, like, how the offense works, the defense works as fast as possible, But ultimately, you're not going to learn every single thing about the team in 10 days. And so You gotta just, like I said, the one thing that you can do as a player is give maximum effort. That always helps, you know. Effort erases mistakes, you know. And so just understanding that and trying to, at the same time, try to figure everything out. You know, that's definitely that's a hard task to do. But under that 10-day thing, umbrella, like, you're basically, it's like you're on a team, but just for 10 days.
I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. I think just, yeah, like, I think it's kind of cool, the whole sure concept of it. Yeah.
It is cool. And you make a lot of money off of it, too, for its short term, for an amount of 10 days. So for 10 days, you make a lot of money. So, like, you rack up a couple of those, looking at a pretty hefty income.
Definitely. One question I have, and this could be a terrible question. I never played basketball at any high level, man. You can tell me that this is a bad question. Do you remember the first time you got dunked on?
Yeah, I do. This. I was at an AU tournament. It was my 14U tournament. We're playing in Chicago, actually, which is funny. Chicago, this other team.
Was it Mac Irvin?
Mean Streets. And so this other team, it had this one dude. He was shorter than me, not by a lot, but at this time I wasn't that tall. I just remember they threw it off the, you know, a dude, one of his dudes on his team went up for a layup. He missed it, and he came and put it back right above me. It was crazy. I was like, whoa, I didn't know he had that much bounce at this age. So, that was crazy.
I have two final questions for you, and then I'll let Jack wrap it up. So my first question for you, I love asking different athletes this question, is what are your pregame and postgame routines before every game? Like, do you have anything, any superstitions or anything you have to do before you suit up and play?
I definitely think for me, my one thing I got to do is just pray. And then that's about it, honestly. And then, yeah, I got little superstitions here and there too. Like, I got to wear my socks a certain way, or like I got to wear this wrist tape. I got to wear my arm sleeve. But most importantly, I just got to pray. And then I'm good to go.
Are there any specific pregame meals where you're like, got to eat this before certain things, where you've noticed when you eat it, you perform a little better?
I always have a banana. I always throw in a banana just right before the game, because banana has potassium and it gives you energy. And then other than that, like, in terms of real food, nah, not really. I kind of eat whatever.
Okay. And then the final question I have for you is, what's on your like pregame or like travel playlist? What type of music are you listening to on the road or during shoot around?
A lot of Babyface Ray, ESTG, hold on, I gotta pull my phone up real quick. I listen to a lot of dudes, man. I would say Gunna, NBA Youngboy, ESTG, Babyface Ray, all different types of dudes. G Herbo for sure, Lil Durk, all type, Lil Baby, everybody. What about else?
Hold on, I got one song that I've just been bumping because the Niners were bumping at Super Gremlin. I've been bumping that, nonstop. Man,
fire,
okay.
Fire.
Perfect. Fire. Just wanted to make sure I'm in tune.
Yeah, for sure in tune.
Perfect. Well, Dan, we can't thank you enough for coming on, taking the time to talk with us. Hopefully we can catch up later on in the season, whatever, see how you're doing. But good luck the rest of the way, and, you know, we'll be rooting for you. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on, man. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you, guys, for sure.
Appreciate it.